Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
So we're to be teachers, whatever your gift is. We're to be soldiers, adjutant to commander-in-chief. We're to be athletes. And then the next thing he tells us is even tougher than those. That's enough discipline, enough work. He says, the hard-working farmer, verse 6, ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
The truth is, when you give yourself fully to God, your life radiates with His truth. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Ed Young concludes his message, Growing Up, Timothy, and challenges you to express the spiritual gifts Christ has given you to serve God and shine His truth to others. That encouraging message is coming right up. Before we get to today's message, we want to help you see God's grace at work through every moment of your life by sending you Dr. Young's three-message CD series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action. The fourth volume of Dr. Young's powerful Know the Bible series, Grace in Action, will help you discover how God's grace can infuse your life with power minute by minute. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, when you give your gift. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Growing Up, Timothy, Part 2.
Timothy, I hand the baton to you. Timothy, you go find other men and train them and disciple them, and they in turn will be able to hand the baton off to somebody else. It's a four-way relay. That's what we are to do. But we're teaching. When I use my spiritual gifts, you use your spiritual gifts, we're teaching. We're first of all to be teachers. All of us are teachers. And then look at the next thing we ought to do. We not ought to be teachers, but he says we also need to be, look at it. Verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. A soldier has one job, one task, to serve and to be obedient to the commanding officer. Parenthetic, a lot of people in my vocation, church ministry, they have all kinds of other interests, business interests, investments, opportunities, and they're out there with a lot of other things going in their life. I stand here to tell you I don't have a single business interest and never have in all the years I've stood behind the desk and preached this word, because we're soldiers. That's it. I've got no other agenda. That's it. You say, well, Paul was a tent maker. Oh, yeah. He did that to earn a living, just like how you may be earning a living. That's a part of it. But your primary vocation is to be a soldier and to go wherever you go and to light up places, people and places with the Zoe that's in your life and in my life. We all have the same calling. We'd be teachers. We'd be soldiers. And then he says, this is really crazy. We're to be athletes. Look at verse 5. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. We're to be an athlete. Say, boy, if I had all the talent so-and-so has, I could do that. Basketball, football, I could run in track. No, no, no. A lot of people have that talent. For every one person you see performing on a college level, even a high school level, or a professional level, there are thousands of people who have that much talent, or maybe more. What happened to them? They didn't discipline themselves. You see a real super athlete, you'll find somebody who is disciplined, what they eat and how they train, what they associate with, their whole lifestyle, if they're going to be effective over a period of time. Those who get out there and don't stay with it, they're not effective over a period of time. This is very simple. That's true of any endeavor. So we're to be teachers, whatever your gift is. We're to be soldiers, adjutant to the commander-in-chief. We're to be athletes. And then the next thing he tells us is even tougher than those. That's enough discipline, enough work. He says, the hard-working farmer, verse 6, ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. How many have ever grown anything, a plant, a flower? You've done any kind of farming. Would you lift your hand? Lift it up. Hold it. Any kind of farming, planting, my goodness, about 3/4 of us. We've discovered something, haven't we? It's no easy deal. When I was brought up, we always had a garden almost in our backyard, a big, big, big garden. And my dad would make me work in that garden. I hated it. But I'll tell you, there's something about it. You got to get all the weeds out, plow the field. We did hand plowing. That's all we could do. Then you plant all the seeds, everything you want to grow. Count on God to bring the water, the amount of sun in the soil. There's so many things involved in growing anything, is it not? We used to grow tomatoes. We'd have tomato boxes in our window in our house, and we'd grow little seeds. A little tomato would come up. Then we'd take them, go out there and prepare and punch a hole in the ground, put water in there, put the little tomato plant in there, hold it up, it'd be about that high. And it seems like for me as a child, it took 10 years for that tomato to produce, but finally it came up. There was a tomato, and what a thrill it was to eat the first tomato out of a garden you had a part of planting. That's something. It takes work, patience, cooperation with God, cooperation with yourself and your effort. We're to be like that. We're to be farmers in this world, planting seed, love, joy. You see, because we have Zoe, the love of Christ needs to be flowing through your life and flowing through my life, and that is constantly changing because there's a constant flow. We're to be farmers. And then he just piles on even more. It gets more intense as we let this Zoe slide. Look at verse 15, chapter 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, this book. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk was spread like gangrene. What is gangrene? Gangrene sounds bad, doesn't it? Boy, that may be gangrene. Whew, man, gangrene is an infection comes and the blood supply is cut off and soft tissue dies. If it doesn't come to an end, it'll go all the way. It'll kill you. It'll go to all over your body. Gangrene. He's saying we engage in vicious talk. Did you hear about? I want you to pray for Bill and his wife. Did you? I can't tell anybody, but did you hear about? And sometimes in the aura of piousity in Christianity, we slander people when we ought to keep our mouths shut and genuinely talk to God about it and God about it exclusively alone. What does he say? He said gossip. How we love our ears tickle for it, to get information, to know this and to know that. Gossip, 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 gossip. He said, you're to be a workman. Now, a workman doesn't have time to do all this other little sneaky, sly things that is so detrimental to you and to me and to the body of Christ and to the kingdom of God. We're to be workmen, diligent in what we do. And then look at verse 20. Now, in a large house, there are only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some of honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust, he says to Timothy, and he would tell every one of us that here today. The new hedonistic God of the 21st century is really not a new God. It's the God or the goddess of sex. Purify your life in this area. I don't care how old you are, and it will change everything, and you'll begin to be a vessel, whether it's a wooden vessel or a pot of some kind, or it's a gold or a silver vessel, where God can let his overflow of that Zoe and that life and that light touch other people. We have so many people who spend so much time. Let me tell you a simple biblical principle of human sexuality. The modern world does not like it, but it is basic. Sex is for marriage, period. That's the beginning and the middle and the end. When that begins to happen, and so much is in the cloud of darkness, I've talked to so many people, you do not see it, and so much of their passion and their desire is emptied there in dark places, therefore they have no place for the passion and the joy of life in Christ and being used by him. I tell you, it's the number one challenge we have in our century. And we're so caught up in compromise and sexuality and everybody's doing, it's just common, it's a way to live. But I'll tell you, it'll take the heart and the life of any man or any woman at any age. If you're 90 or you're 19, it makes no difference. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you run from impurity. You run from immorality. Good counsel, isn't it? And then he comes back. And finally, he summarizes all of it in verse 24. He said, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance according to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, we don't go and condemn. You know, you go to some churches, and somebody said, unless you leave feeling guilty, the preacher didn't preach. That's not the way church should be. We're not spending a lot of time God telling me about all the sin in my life. Man, I just spend time with him. You know, the Holy Spirit just speaks the truth to me. I don't know about you. Have you noticed that? So we need to come to church at the place where we're forgiven, where we're redeemed, where we're receptive, where we have a fresh new moment of beginning again. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. We point out the way of the grace and the power of God in Christ. And we go condemning, condemning, condemning. You never win anybody like that. How many people have you out-argued all the way to Christ? Would you make a list of those? I want to see them. Doesn't happen, does it? But we go and we listen and we love. We don't condemn, we don't judge. We put their shoes on for a while. We recognize that we also have spots in our own life. It's by God's grace and God's power, and therefore we become bond servants to God. You know what a bond servant is? It's somebody who's a servant of the master or a slave to the master. There comes a point that servant says, you know, I so love being under your command. I love being a part of your house. I want to voluntarily become a servant to you for the rest of my life. And they would take the slaves and they would take them to the door of the house. They'd put an awl through the ear right here and to put a ring there. And they know now this person really is no longer a slave. They're a bond slave. They're a member of the family of God because they enjoy being submissive to the master. That's what all of us are to become. God is no respecter of person. He doesn't rank somebody like this. With the idea that God loves us when we're good? No, God loves us in order to make us good. And therefore, we are to be bondservants of him. You see where we are? When we receive Christ into our life, we're endowed by eternal life, but that eternal life must flow. It must express itself. We become vessels, and our life becomes an overflowing of that vessel because we are learning how to be teachers with our spiritual gifts. We're moving out, and we are soldiers. We're athletes. We're farmers. We are workmen. We are vessels. We become bond slaves of the Lord. And then your life begins to radiate with the truth of God in Christ because you totally belong to Him, or I totally belong to Him. There's an anchor lady, woman, female, I never know quite title again to be politically correct, in Dallas, Texas. She's one of the anchors on one of the TV stations. She's also a dynamic Christian lady. She speaks and travels. And recently she went back to her home country just a few months ago. She went back to her home country in Scotland. And she was invited to go out to a little bitty village in Scotland and to talk to this little bitty church running 75 or 100 people in that little village about how they could be evangelistic, how they could reach more people for Christ. And she told them what I think all of us know. The first thing about the church, we're to be a healthy church. And then God takes care of the growth of the church. You have to be healthy, and God takes care of the growth. She talks about that to two or three of the elders, and the old pastor was there. And they talked about programs that bring young people in and activities that they could reach people for Christ. And as they were talking, the old pastor would say, "Remember, we John." And they didn't pay any attention to him. And they talked about programs. She's from Dallas, telling them how that little church. And the pastor said, "Remember, we John." And so they went through some time. And once in a while, he'd say, "Remember, we John." And finally, she said, "Who is this we John?" And they told her, said, "We John was the little village drunk and the thief of the village. Said he would steal in order to get stuff to buy, get money to buy liquor, and he'd get drunk, and then he would steal. He'd steal to get drunk." He said it was a cycle, and we, John, had been doing that for 20, 25 years, and they just accepted him in the village. And he said when somebody would miss something, they'd say, "You know, we, John, may have taken it." And we'd go to his house and knock on the door and say, "We, John, do you have my boy Billy's bicycle?" He said, "We, John," would many times come out pushing that bicycle out of his house and give it to you. And then a lady would go, and she would miss her watch. She didn't know where she'd lost it. She said, "Well, maybe somehow we, John," and she'd go over there, "We, John, do you have my watch?" And he'd come out and say, "Yes, Sarah, here's your watch," you know, and give it to her. And they just accepted that. When they missed something, they knew they either lost it or we, John, had stolen it. That's how they operated. And they'd go, "We, John," he'd always give it back to them. One Sunday night, they were having church. Wee John decided he'd go to church, though he never went to church in his whole life. But he said, "You know, they pass an offering plate, and maybe they'll put it down." And man, Wee John was slick. He'd been a thief his whole life. He said, "I'll get some cash in that situation." But unfortunately, they'd already passed the plate. It had already been taken out. And there was Wee John in the back row of that little church there. And he had to listen, and he heard something you never heard before. Christ could enter a life, would forgive that life, would give it a brand new life. And Christ would give strength enough to break any habits that you had. And we, John, came half walking, half staggering down the aisle. He accepted Jesus Christ. Well, a little church said, "It's we, John, you know, it won't take, what's going on?" But we, John, came to church next Sunday night. And every time he would come, he would bring things with him from his house he'd stolen. And he would come and he would say, he'd put in the offering plate. He'd say, "Hey, Alice, that's your bracelet in the plate. I brought it back." And then sometime he'd have big items and he'd put them in burlap bags down front at the altar. He would give that as a part of the gift. He'd say, "Johnny boy, that's your trimmer that I stole a long time. It's down there at the altar. You pick it up." And he did this for several weeks until finally, man, he'd go and they'd look and see what they're going to get back. They thought they'd misplaced it. Wee John had stolen it. He started bringing stuff back until in one Sunday night, little crowd was there, passed the offering plate, and Wee John told the usher, said, "Put the plate down on the floor." He said, "Oh, no, Wee John, no, that's all." He said, "Please put the plate down on the floor." And he said, no. And we, John, began to weep. He said, oh, please put the plate down. Everybody was watching that little church. And he said, okay, he put the plate down. And we, John, got up in the plate. He said, Lord, I've given back everything that I've stolen. I don't have anything left. I've returned all of it. And he said, and you've taken me from liquor. I don't drink anymore. Lord, I've given that to you. And he said, Lord, the only thing I have left is me. He said, Lord, I put me in the offering plate. I give you all that I am.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, you talked about how God gives us gifts to use in His family. How can I discover what my gifts are so I can serve God with those gifts?
First of all, God gives people who are in Christ, who are in the body of Christ, special abilities they can use in the church. Maybe they did not have outside the church. Maybe you're natural gifts that you have an education around, they may be an asset to the church, but maybe something entirely different. So one of the thrilling things is discover our spiritual gifts. And the way we discover them is to say, you know, I think I would fit there. I think I could usher. I think I could direct. I think I could teach. I think I could witness. I think I could comfort. All the many areas of need in a body of Christ, God has put in that body His sons and His daughters with giftedness to meet the needs of the congregation. More than that, with giftedness to go outside the congregation and invite people, witness to people, love people, serve people, and that way you lead them to Christ and lead them in the body of Christ. So we all have spiritual gifts. We need to use them. Now, a lot of people think they have spiritual gifts, and they really do not, because so many of us look for gifts that are public, gifts that had a little pizzazz and applause to them. We had one of the top executives in our city for many years. He couldn't teach. He couldn't do a lot of things, but he parked cars. Can you believe that? He parked cars. He said, I love doing this on Sunday. That was his spiritual gift. So discover what your gift is. Others say, you know, I think I could sing a solo. I've got a good voice. And so we try them out, and unfortunately, the ability to sing was not affirmed by those in music and was not affirmed by the congregation. So they need to move on to somewhere else. Others say, oh, I can teach the Bible. When they teach, we only discover they do not have that gift. And so they need to move on. But some people are so prideful. Well, I know I have this spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is something God gives, and then it's affirmed by the body of Christ or the group around which you're exercising that gift. That's important to let the church function in a biblical way.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we'd love to help you further by sending you Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift of support. This three-message resource invites you to experience God's grace at work through every moment of your life, even the messy ones. Struggling with doubt? God gives grace to believe. Feeling worthless and unseen? He gives grace to thrive in your spiritual gifting. Burden for others? He gives grace to share His good news with boldness. Drawn from the New Testament examples of Thomas, Stephen, and Timothy, this series will encourage you that no matter how messy or mundane life gets, God is there with you, for you, giving grace for what you need. So call now to request your copy of Know the Bible, Grace in Action, as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Young brings you more proven truth to help you walk boldly with Christ. Have a great weekend.